If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. Sean Ross Sapp. It is August 20th, 2025. This is your AEW Dynamite post show from Fightful, streaming live on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter, X, whatever, Twitch, on Kick. We are all over the place. We want to thank you guys for joining us so much. But if you're here, leave a thumbs up, tap that bell for notifications, subscribe. Check out our interview with Kip Sabian, our coverage of Forbidden Door this weekend, and get in those super chats and humper chats. Super chats here at youtube.com/Fightful. Thousands of videos. And then, of course, we've got humper chats over at humperchats.com. HUMPER chats.com. I will be joined momentarily by Alex Pawlowski talking this AEW show. But before we get into that, and before he joins us, I'll tell you about FightfulSelect.com, which had news today on the WWE ESPN deal, the Peacock element. ESPN sources told me that as of right now, YouTube TV is not a part of this deal, of which starts much sooner than we anticipated. And normally this would be primarily an AEW show, but it certainly affects AEW. We got news that once this deal was announced, AEW coverage on ESPN just kind of went away. I think at this point, and far be it for me to say, if you're looking for journalism, I don't consider, what is journalism today? I think media is a much more fair thing to say, but if you're even looking for media of AEW, ESPN ain't going to be the place to do it. They haven't been giving AEW much coverage in general, but this partnership certainly accelerates that. Now, listen, for a person who does the kind of job that I have, I think that people confuse the term journalism as like some self-appointed, like self-righteous thing as opposed to like a job title. But if you're looking for that out of ESPN now, it's just not the same. Listen, I like that they have some ex-player personalities and stuff. But seeing Rich Eisen on SportsCenter last night really highlighted to me why it was that I loved ESPN growing up and why that was very important to me. And I'm sure we're going to see the Stephen A. Smiths of the world on WWE pre-shows and all that stuff. And it's just something you're probably going to have to get used to. But the interesting element of this ESPN deal, as we welcome Alex Pawlowski onto the show, is that they officially announced Wrestlepalooza. And a lot of people said, well, didn't First Wrestling up north have that trademark? Well, ourselves and Bodyslam.net reported that Wrestlepalooza was like given a cease to be referenced to by First Wrestling recently. So I would imagine that WWE probably acquired that. So no issue there. But here's the big news. Wrestlepalooza going up against All Out, very clearly an intentional thing, is going to be the first PLE on the ESPN direct-to-consumer service, which again, I just want to say this, the rollout and announcement of the service itself, where you can get it, how you can get it, has been miserably managed as a guy who has tried to stay up to date as much as possible on this. Now, another detail emerged, as there are a lot of moving parts here. Peacock will no longer air WWE PLEs. They will continue to have the library for the time being. I've got more details on that on FightfulSelect.com. We had broken on FightfulSelect.com. They will still air Saturday night's main event. NBC will not. WWE told us that they were eager to continue this relationship with NBCU, and they said it's a relationship that we have had either via them or other channels for decades at this point, since the mid-80s, early 80s, whatever the hell it was. But Peacock also gets the NXT PLEs, but all those are done. Those are largely done outside of four Saturday nights main events a year and some NXT PLEs. The Peacock era is done. The ESPN era kicks off now. Alex, what were your thoughts when you heard this news and how they approached Peacock and then took a deal to ESPN, not to buy it out, but just to go ahead and just get the ball rolling on this WWE ESPN thing?
It's all just very confusing to me. Like, you announced that they'll start doing the PLEs on ESPN in 2026. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh no, just kidding. It's like in a month. And that's a major deal, especially because there are so many people who will have to spend $30 to get that, until ESPN has said that they are going to do their best to work with all the other different things, YouTube TV. I would log in through my Xfinity, but I can't do that. Xfinity is not. So I would have to, as a person who wouldn't use a VPN, if I was a regular person and I had Comcast Xfinity, and I'm like, well, okay, well, oh, but I could do the bundle, the Disney Plus and the Hulu and all that, the bundle, except I can't do that because we as a family pay for a whole year of Disney Plus by itself, and we're like 2 months into that year. So I'd have to like spend two, because they won't let you just fold that in now.
Oh, buddy.
You'd have to start a whole new thing. So I'd have to spend $30 a month just for ESPN, or start a whole new Disney Plus bundle that I'm paying for Disney Plus twice.
And it gets more complicated because when I posted today that YouTube TV wasn't included, which came straight from ESPN sources, somebody sent me their Q&A or their FAQ, ESPN Front Row, that said, yeah, it will be. But then I go to Hulu, because listen, here's what they're doing. Yeah. They want this gap so more people will sign up for Hulu Live TV. That's what they want. But right now, if you have a Disney bundle and you cancel it, here's what happens. You have to go back to Disney and hit up their customer service individually to start a new deal. You can't just be like, oh, here's a list of all the packages and the bundles, which, by the way,
no, you can't.
There are bundles that include Hulu, Hulu with ads, Hulu without ads, Hulu Live plus TV, Disney with ads, Disney without ads, ESPN Select, which is not what we have for premium. It's going to be ESPN Premium. That's what you got to get. And then on top of that, they've started to roll in ones with Max, too, that are only available with certain things.
Right.
Then there are ones that you can get through your cable providers. There is no comprehensive list. There is no website you can go to. I should have stolen this idea myself, because Jimmy could have probably designed the website. But I'm like, is there a website where you just say, these are the services I want, these are the shows that I want, tell me what bundle is best for me? I tried to do it today. I tried to do a test run because I've been a cord cutter, because NordVPN.com/Fightful. Right. I was like, let me see what I can do here and how I can roll this in together. And I tried to cancel my Disney Hulu ESPN combo, and it let me. But then when I go to my subscription options to start a new subscription with Hulu Live TV, that option isn't available. It's such a monumental pain in the ass.
And here's the other thing for NordVPN, and I which is a great service, and we love them very much.
Yes, it is.
It doesn't work for certain people. unless you do a certain thing. For me, because all of my TVs in the house are Roku TVs, Roku doesn't have VPN apps. Other smart TVs do. Roku TVs do not. So I would have to go, put it on the router. Because I have Xfinity internet, they do not allow you to use a VPN with the router they give you as part of their high-speed internet. I would have to go and buy a second router and feed my internet from Xfinity through that router and then put NordVPN on that. Or for a comparable price, if I want to actually have the internet at the speed I need to stream, I have to buy a really high-end router on top of whatever I pay Xfinity. Or I can go and get a whole bunch of Amazon Fire Sticks and put them on every TV in my house at $25 a pop, because Amazon Fire Sticks do have a VPN. So basically, this is the thing. I'm going to drop everything and do the NordVPN. Once I do, I can cancel my cable package with Xfinity. And when I do that, though, now I got to get little Fire Sticks for every TV in my house to make sure that I can watch with NordVPN. So they are making a bunch of people. And this is not, I do not think that my Comcast Xfinity is one of the top cable providers in internet providers in the country. So I'm not alone in this. The Roku TVs are the top brand of smart TVs. There are a lot of people who can't, just use a VPN. You can, but it's going to take a lot of hoops to jump through and an expense to get to that point. And nobody cares about this. And there's all these rumblings, certain countries, not yet in America, but certain countries are trying to outlaw VPNs across the board. Like, won't so happen. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff
that won't people happen. Are
trying to get through.
Jim Duker says, fear the beer. When has ESPN ever covered AEW? They never really did. That's the thing. Like, they never really did that. Should we prepare for Fightful Select Premium Plus? No. Listen, it was a battle to me. Jimmy wanted to raise the price of Fightful Select more than it was to $5.99, and I fought that pretty hard. I'm sure eventually we'll have to raise it again, but we try our best to make it so inexpensive that if you're like, you know what? I want some wrestling news, and I want it really reliable, that it's a cost that is so low that you'd be like, okay, I can justify that.
Yep.
We do have Jam Beard saying something that us Canadians might have to keep a look for. Even though ESPN doesn't own TSN, it is a part owner with a 20% stake, and TSN 2 is what airs AEW here in Canada. Well, I will encourage you guys instead, just subscribe to NordVPN.com/Fightful. We're going to be telling you guys a lot of ways that you can use it, even if there are apps or devices that you think that it can't be used on. We've definitely got ways to do that, and we're going to be showing you guys those in the coming weeks. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Right now, I mean, seems like as good of a time as any to get that. Denise's husband actually told me that she watches all out-of-market football games with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Just changes the virtual location to whatever local market that is. And right now, get a 2-year subscription like a couple bucks a month on average, plus four free months. They got a 30-day money-back guarantee. And if you're like, man, I don't know if I will know how to use it, they've got 24/7 tech support. So what you will need to watch WWE content, all with one Netflix subscription, is the very bare minimum tier, not anything above that. It's safe from disruptions. It's incredibly fast. It's got reliable encryption. It's got a global server network. And if you don't know what any of those mean, go to NordVPN.com/Fightful. This is the same VPN that TEDx, Entrepreneur, Business Insider, The Independent, Forbes, BuzzFeed, Wired, Huffington Post, all put over big time. Works on all your devices and operating systems. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Thomas, thank you very much for becoming a YouTube member.
Thank you, Thomas.
Oh, our dude right here, Jim Duker's. Jim Duker's. Sean, it pains me that my inscrutable but hilarious comments can be confusing. I respect your integrity as a journalist and a leader too much to cause you such pain. So I'll just say congrats on not being swept by the Brewers. Listen, I know that that's like sort of backhanded. Congrats on not being swept by the Brewers. But like that is something I would That's like saying, oh, hey, congrats on landing like 30 punches against prime Mike Tyson. Like, right. I would feel very good about that. Yeah, I'm getting my ass whipped.
They won like 14 in a row and they lost the streak to the Reds. That's a major, major thing to hang your hat on.
I can take that. The Reds are 7 games over .500, which, you know, give us the pennant pretty much. That's but as good as it gets for us.
That's as good as it gets in Cincinnati.
It is. Like, usually it's 4 or 5 games over .500. Then they finish within 2 of .500. Mm-hmm. And I got a bunch of people, when I call my favorite team mediocre, they're like, no, they're not. And I'm like, being within a couple games of .500 is the definition of mediocrity. Yeah. Yeah. But right now they're up one run on the Angels in the third. So listen, I'm hoping for some sort of charge. The Reds have the longest playoff series drought of any major sports team right now. And that pains
me. It killed me when you came back from the Reds game and had a brand new 1990 World Series hat that they were still selling to promote a thing that is 35. I mean, it is the 35th anniversary. I suppose that's a major deal, but yeah.
I mean, listen, I might have to buy like a 1995 National League Division Series hat as well. Like, that's as good as, and the fact that I remember that. I mean, I was also there for, I think it was Scott Rowland's last at bat when he struck out and the Reds blew it. The Reds blew the playoff run that they had with a really great team. They wasted years of Joey Votto.
Yeah.
Jim Duker says, I was 100% sincere. Well, since you were sincere, I appreciate that. I really do. I want to thank our moderator, Luis, who is...
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
The gathering super chats and humper chats. Pat says, normally I watch Nord, watch AEW using Nord with Triller, although these overseas shows mean that the show is only starting now. Capitalism sucks eggs. Alex, let me tell you the joy I have that the Bengals have a preseason game at 1 p.m. Saturday.
Okay.
AEW is on in the early afternoon.
Yeah.
Raw is on at 3 p.m. Eastern next
week. Wow.
Oh, boy. So I'm excited. I am so excited. Orion Ben says, good go-home show for AEW Dynamite. I love that. Windsor got set up for Monet's Brit's belt in the future. WrestlePalooza was an ECW show, too. We will ask Luis if it talks about a match. Mm. Put the super chat with that match. But yes, it was a ECW show. Clearly the inspiration there. But I saw people acting like there was an issue with I can't believe they're doing that name. Who gives a damn? They acquired it. They got the name. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Vin says, if Jericho's deal is up in December, could he get a Cena retirement tour? There's a story dating back to 2005. Or get in on the Cena retirement tour. There's a story dating back to 2005 when Cena beat Jericho to exile him from WWE. His deal would not be up in time to do that if John Cena's dates remain the same. Yeah. And the people that we had a story on FightfulSelect.com today. People I talked to in WWE were like, well, we don't even know really when his deal is up. Like, we don't know if his deal is frozen now, because if so, that would carry him through a period that we would maximum benefit from having him, which would be Rumble to Mania season. Jimmy and I spoke about this at length, Alex. There is nothing left for Jericho to do in AEW and ROH. But what we do know is Jericho loves doing things. He loves to accomplish things. He loves to win things he hasn't before.
Mm-hmm.
He could do the Rumble Mania tour, and then he could go over there. And I legitimately think the AAA crowd would eat him up. I think they would eat him up. But, buddy, if they like 55-year-olds, Chris Jericho is the most 55-year-old you could have. And you know where else he hasn't done things at, Alex? He hasn't done things in TNA either.
That is true. He'd be right at home. Here you go. He would call once he goes there, and he would call the AAA, Triple J. And then he would also call it TNJ. That's how clever his tours of those places would be. He'd absolutely go and be like, "It's TNJ, baby. All right." You know, he'd be one of those things.
I think there is actually some meat on the bone for a WWE return. Like,
oh, for,
you know, there for Rumble to Mania, I think.
There is 100%. Like, he'd still be beloved there when he goes back. Like,
oh yeah.
Somebody did. I don't remember who put this. Somebody tweeted it out that in around the Royal Rumble time, they're gonna kick Finn out of Judgment Day. He'll be replaced by Painmaker Jericho.
Oh my god!
And everything. Painmaker Jericho will now take over the Judgment Day. It'll be the Judgment J for Jericho.
I did hear that you laughing at his hat popped him one time. I think I may have shown you that. I can't remember, but you had a tweet that said, "Ha ha 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 ha! His stupid little hat." And I heard it pop.
It's a very stupid little hat.
It was a dumb little hat. Michael Higgins says, "At this point, do you think it's more likely that Tony keeps the start time the same for All Out, or pivots to make it earlier? Could this affect people's travel plans who are going to Toronto?" Of course it could affect people's travel plans.
Right.
But, I mean, if they did it, well, so they start that show 3 hours earlier, it's still going to take over the entire WWE show. Anyway.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you started earlier, and you would probably still go deep into that show.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people, if they're already watching the AEW show, the chances of them tuning over to the other one become less. And I just think I think with the length of the shows, it's always a good idea to start them earlier. So people aren't getting done watching the show.
I agree.
After midnight Eastern, you know,
I want to say specifically on the East Coast, when a lot of public transit ends at midnight, listen, I think this is where Tony Khan has a disconnect from his audience. Let me tell you, me and anybody I've ever been to one of those shows with, those New York shows.
Yeah.
I've done two or three of them. And I get the feeling Tony Khan never made that walk from Arthur Ashe Stadium to the public transit, the Uber section, or else he probably wouldn't do those shows as much. Yeah. Now, in Philly, I know that caused a lot of issues for a lot of people. So, yeah, I would start the show even earlier in general, just so people can catch that public transit. I do think that they should move it back anyway, but overall, when people say how should AEW respond to this, my answer is they shouldn't. Like, you guys should know, right? Like, I am all for friendly, like, competition jabs, but it's very clear that these two places are doing, it's friendly with the talent, but it's certainly not with the entities and the companies and everything surrounding them.
Right. Yeah.
And it's just not, it's best to just put your head down, do what you're doing, because look at how well they've done this year. Orion Ben, actually, we read that one. Jim Duker says, "Our Brewers finished second once."
They did. They went to the World Series and lost. It was a very big year for us.
So we have Brian Danielson come out and do commentary, which, again, I love.
He's great, man. He's good,
phenomenal. He also, Alex, phenomenal news. He is going to be joining the pre-show. This will be the first time I've watched a pre-show in a long time for AEW Forbidden Door, which is notable because Renee is on the show. So it's the reunion. Not only is it the reunion, but you have RJ City sprinkled in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting Ryback table for three vibes with Jeff Jarrett. I think he's going to be the one that gets bullied on this night. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. That, for those of you who don't understand the lore of Renee and Brian Danielson, they were so good. They were such a phenom, especially with our audience, that we waited until Talking Smack was over to do our post show.
Yes.
Because that's how good they were and how entertaining they were. And it was such must-watch TV that, like, our audience wasn't going to tune in until that was over anyway.
They were so good together, Vince had to cancel them.
Yes.
That's how good yes. they were together. Yep.
Oh, man. Meet Normus says, shout out to Glasgow for the sausage roll chant. My kind of bruv's over there. Let's crank, mates. 10 men in a cage sounds chaotic, but could be a hoot. Well, yeah. Listen, there's a Blue Chew segue there, I'm sure, but they sponsored this afternoon's show.
Yep.
Will Ospreay came out. He he provided some nice inside Scottish references. Like a, he said, typical Scotland wrestling. They didn't want to get me a hotel, so they just brought me to the show. Mm-hmm. And then we partied all night, so they didn't have to get me a hotel. Mm-hmm. And he talked about the sausage roll, which mm-hmm. got an enormous pop.
Yes.
Enormous pop. And he after that, he said that it's been one of the worst months of his life. And he said that he actually wasn't cleared last week. And that's why he made it lights out. He then heavily implies, without outright saying, that he's going to have neck surgery. Now, here's what I'll say. There is some truth to his concern mm-hmm. and concern of others. He would not be in this match if he wasn't cleared. That much I can tell you. Because Tony Khan is the most like, I am not letting this guy do this. He pulled Brian Danielson from multiple blood and guts because he wasn't cleared.
Yeah.
What did you think of the promo?
I thought it was really well done, and I liked the keeping the cards close to the vest nature of it. Like, I'm about to undergo something that a lot of people have, and they haven't come out the same. And if this is the last time that I get to be Will Ospreay, you can bet your ass I'm really going to be Will Ospreay. I mean, I liked that a lot. He said, I'm going, before I go under the scalpel, I'm taking a pound of flesh from you. Like, he said enough to at least heavily imply. And you can be cleared to wrestle and know that you're going to need neck surgery at some point. And so I think that's what this is alluding to, of him being cleared to wrestle. Now he can be cleared to wrestle, but he knows for the long-term health of his body, he would need to get neck surgery. Like, that being part of it, I like that they're not coming right out and saying this could be it for me after this, who knows, you know, there's enough of that. It was subtle. I liked how subtle that was. I thought that he did a great job selling the gravity of it, how he had to get revenge for all that, and, you know, getting interrupted by I need the full tape of Moxley making his entrance all the way, like getting off a boat or something. Like, the fact that, like, we get to see the fast last few steps walking through the parking lot. I need to see him getting up in the morning, like a camera following him the whole way. Just a single unbroken shot, because I love the tracking shots of Jon Moxley entering the building to come down to the ring. They're great.
Evil Divas says his promo felt authentic. They almost always do. And I think that's where Ospreay connects so well, is that it works. It feels very authentic. Meet Normus says, shout out to Vicky. She's our warrior. We love Vicky. I was just speaking with her a little bit earlier. I sent her one of Sting's final water bottles, Alex. One of the last times he's ever going to drink water.
He's never going to drink. He's very dehydrated, because that match was a long time ago.
Strictly Mountain Dew Code Red.
Yeah,
I'm told. That's all. That's what I'm told. I bet that probably is what he drinks. you know, he's just pounding it.
No Baja Blast though. He's a purist. Code Red and only Code Red.
Oh my God. So this led into Tanahashi and Jet Speed defeating the Death Riders, with Tanahashi winning with a high fly flow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You gotta love it.
Yep.
Afterwards, You got the War Dogs involved, by the way. It's good. Some New Japan integration. Mm-hmm. The Ops are around. Darby does a oops, pal, surprise. But yeah,
pal, surprise. When Will Ospreay comes down to the ring, because Marina's been kicked out of ringside because she got involved, and so she doesn't want to leave. So Will Ospreay comes and picks her up and takes her backstage. And then later, during the brawl thing that's starting, he comes out with a body bag, and he's like, and everybody's like, that must be Marina Shafir in there. It's like, bullshit. There's no way Marina lets a man put her in the body bag. No way. Mm-hmm. So then he's just trying to bait John Moxley to come down and open the body bag. Like, Darby's in the body bag. And then he was in the body bag, and that was very funny. That it was like, it was actually, he was laying on his front. Like, they had to, like, flip the bag over so they could unzip it, which I thought was very funny. That, like, when Will Ospreay puts down the body bag, he doesn't realize that he has put the body bag down upside down. So it's just Darby laying on his face in a body bag. Picturing that was very funny to me. Very funny.
I gotta just speak glowingly over John Moxley, because I mentioned recently about how when somebody like him loses a title, you almost assume they're going to embark on like a 2 or 3 month effort to regain the title. And when people saw that they were doing this on Dynamite, there were a lot of people that were like, oh, they're doing the rematch on Dynamite. Listen, I'm much more happier with that on Dynamite than knowing he's going to lose at Forbidden Door. And then you move on. He does the Darby feud. And it's been like, I don't know how many weeks in a row. It feels like every week for 4 straight mm-hmm. weeks.
Yeah.
John Moxley opens the show with a fast-paced match that is completely different than the matches that he was having as champion. It is an in-ring reinvention, and he's become a compelling part of the show. Now, we would have probably had him lose that title way sooner.
Mm. Yeah.
Ultimately, it paid off, and right now, AEW is very slim on baby faces, and it's good that they have a babyface world champion, because Omega ain't around. Ospreay might not be around. Swerve, we don't know what's going on there, and he's competing for the unified title. So having Hangman as your top guy, sort of running the gamut, I think is very, very important here.
Yes.
And, Vin says, do you think that Tony should begin to push back on TKO, or is that a no-win situation? Small victories like Danhausen. Whew, I've got a lot to say about this one. I understand why Tony Khan would be frustrated. Now, before anybody comes at me, oh my God, AEW took the first shot. No, they didn't, first off. But who gives a shit? Who gives a shit? When everybody compares it to a war, that's so fucking dramatic. It's pro wrestling, guys. Like, come on. It's pro wrestling.
Yeah.
But, like, at points when wars or fights or beefs or any petty ass argument that you ever have, people go ask me if you see me burying somebody or somebody burying me, hey, why is it you didn't like this person again? Good chance might not remember at this stage. To use somebody like Danhausen as a victory when you haven't used the guy for 2.5 years, pretty much, I think 4 times in 2.5 years. He wanted to go. You're just wasting money on him. Mm-hmm. Just let the guy go. His deal was going to be up. What, you going to do more creative stuff with him? I think that's stupid. People compared it to Rey Fénix. Wasn't the same. Rey Fénix and Penta were being very outward about negotiating with the competition with months left on their deal.
Yeah.
And title plans for them. Way different. No plans for this. As far as Tony beginning to push back, like, I didn't have a problem with them showing the Punk footage last year. I didn't care. Like, it was to launch the scapegoat, but, like, who gives a damn, right?
Right.
But, like, a lot of times when he would bury them on Twitter, it just wouldn't work well. You cultivate those fans that want to justify a reason to dislike you. And I know I am hardly the person to be talking about social media conduct. Because I don't have much of a filter there, but no, I don't think he does. I think he has realized that the method that he is doing has threatened WWE in some capacity, and that's why they are answering. And let's be honest. WWE is doing this because they don't like that they have to pay more money to talent.
Yes. Now. Yeah.
And that's what it all comes down to.
They want the monopoly again. Like, like the reports being out again, I don't believe any of us have corroborated it here, but that their plan is to try and kill AEW before they can get another TV deal. And why do they want that? Not because they hate AEW, but because they don't want to pay people what they're worth. Because if you have another place you can go and get paid, then you can start a bidding war for your services. And they don't want to do that. They would like to pay people less. And so and so they're trying to kill their top competition. And I don't know. I mean, like, their other competition, the third biggest company in America, is now basically their other developmental brand.
So let's, if they let's look at like the top, they don't have, man. Let's look at like the top eight right now. WWE, and they're doing what they're doing. AEW.
Yes.
The third, you could argue, probably from a financial standpoint, is probably New Japan. Well, guess what happened with New Japan recently? They stopped running as many U.S. shows. They stopped their entire U.S. wing. They're not paying as much money, and that's why they're losing everybody to AEW. Mm-hmm. And I saw somebody say, AEW killed New Japan. AEW did not force New Japan to not compete financially. So what's below that? Probably CMLL and AAA, to be honest with you. And CMLL is in bed with AEW and New Japan. AAA is owned by WWE.
Yeah.
Well, what's right around there? TNA. TNA is running twice a month, has a lot of people on per appearance deals.
Yeah.
They're before they got involved with WWE, you had world champions there that were making 50 to 60 grand a year.
Yeah.
They're working with WWE. Okay. Well, what's underneath that? People would naturally say MLW. They're running like once a month now. They're happy with their cadence. They got that WWE settlement money and they are happy to just sell out shows once a month and do a Danny McBride sponsored event here in like a month or two or whatever it is. And then what's below that? NWA. You think they're paying anything? Doubt it.
No, no.
I think there is a real need for an unaffiliated full-time thing. And listen, GCW is there. They run like 70 shows, but like, they're not, it's not going to be all somebody does.
Right.
Yeah. Vin says, you think this is a Nick Paul vision or is Ari doing an Ari Gold and looking to destroy anyone in his way? I have long believed that it is a Nick Khan led thing. Uh-huh. And then Triple H, Paul Levesque, is probably contributing a lot of what he has learned through the wrestling business over these years. But we do have more Dynamite to talk about. Please leave a thumbs up on this video, guys. I can't tell you how important that is. Jambeard says, actually, we'll get to that because it's relative to this promo. Cope and Cage come out. And if you have watched this show, like, I don't know, ever.
Right.
You know that I was probably very happy with this because this is verbatim the promo that I have been saying that I wanted Cope and Christian to do for a very long time. With Cope saying, go find yourself. Mm. Christian said, you know what? I did. And I realized that I am perfect just the way that I am.
I don't need to change at all.
I am great. I've been successful this way.
Yeah.
And then Cope says, you know what? You would think that I have a problem with that, but I don't. He is an absolute asshole, but he's
an asshole.
Mine.
But sometimes you need an asshole and he's my asshole.
This is eerily similar to like a Team America World Police. There are three types of people, pussies, dicks, and assholes. But I even liked Cope's reaction to his own line because, listen, a lot of times he comes out there and he thinks something's hitting. And, like, it might in person, but we're all over here like. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. But I thought this was really, really good, and I have wanted the really babyface, really heel team forever. I got teased with it. I got teased with Adam Cole and MJF, and MJF turned babyface. I got teased with MJF and Cody, and MJF turned on Cody. I thought it could happen with Sammy and KO, and it's just never going to happen.
No.
I'm pumped for this. Before we get into what happened after, how'd you feel about the approach here?
I'm glad that they did this approach. I still think they may have like told the first six chapters in one night last week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I feel like I will agree to help you with your Nick Wayne and Kip Sabian problem. Okay. And after that, I'm going to need you to help me with my FTR problem. I promised you nothing, but I might. You know what I mean? And let them have the first match. Let them have differences during the match. Like they can't quite figure out on the same page, but they end up winning. And then after that, at the end of the match, they shake hands. And then you can build from that to the FTR match, where during that match, it all clicks. Now they're edging Christian again. Like right now, I get the idea of we just want to get all that out of the way first and then jump right into the first match. I think that they're handling the approach exactly right. Of Christian still being the asshole and Cope being the good guy. And I think that's right. I think that's a good way to do this. I think it's interesting that like our first round is this blood feud now for Christian that doesn't really have the guy in it he really wants to get revenge on because of the unfortunate injury, which we're about to talk about.
Yeah. So unfortunately, Nick Wayne is injured. He says that when Christian brought out his bat and tried to attack Nick Wayne, it didn't get the job done, but it did make him break his foot. So he is out of action. But boy, did they have a nice stopgap replacement. He said, I'm always, however many steps ahead, I lose track of how many steps ahead right. anybody is in this industry yes. anymore. And then we see a video that might tie into another FightfulSelect.com report, but I had reported about, like 3 or 4 months ago that Luchasaurus was backstage at a show, like in his gear, ready to work if they needed him. I'm going to have more on him on FightfulSelect.com tomorrow, but he appeared, he looked great. And I just want to say this, guys, like, I don't know if you all know how serious it was, but he had a very big health scare about 8-9 months ago. We're lucky to have him, much less have him wrestling.
Right.
And I always remember when I would first listen to the Bruce Pritchard show, and he was like, when you have somebody that pulls out, you need to over deliver on a replacement.
Yes.
I thought they did a really good job over delivering and bringing him back because it is an immediate like, oh my God, this guy is so physically imposing.
It's the perfect guy. It's not like some guy from England that Kip Sabian knows. It's the other guy in the faction that also did not like the way Christian treated him. Like it's the only perfect choice. And it's honestly the fact that this is the first time we've seen him since he went away is also perfect. Like you said 3-4 months ago, is that what you said, where he was ready to wrestle? If he had come back a couple of months ago, like, it wouldn't be nearly as impactful. But the little vignette of him basically being brought back to life like he's Frankenstein's monster.
By who? Because recently, on FightfulSelect.com, I had reported that I had been told, haven't verified it, but I had been told by someone close to Jack Perry that he might be back, like, within the month or so. Mm-hmm. And that would make an awful lot of sense as well.
Who's another guy who's really hated Christian in his career? It's honestly, it really, because I don't know, a broken foot can be a bad thing to come back from. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if there's going to be some time for this little faction to keep getting under the skin of Cope and Christian, I think Jack Perry being part of it is a great thing. I could absolutely see Jack Perry and Nick Wayne doing great stuff together as a long-term duo. You know what I mean? Adding Kip Sabian, having Luchasaurus there. The connection between Perry and Luchasaurus is so cool. We actually never got to see them together as bad guys. Like, I kind of love the idea of a boy and his dinosaur, but for the powers of evil. Like, that's kind of cool.
So, by the way, we spoke to Kip Sabian for an interview this week, and he spoke about Nick Wayne, said it's the best 20-year-old wrestler he's ever seen. Revealed that when he was a teenager, Alex, he used to catch a train and go do backyard wrestling with Will Ospreay.
Wow.
How about that? Like,
that's pretty cool.
That backyard fed produced more stars than OVW in the last 20 years. Like,
yes,
that's pretty good.
That's technically true. Yes.
I mean, so as we start to see this come together, Jambeard says, already seeing some theories that the guy who revived Switchasaurus was Jack Perry, since the sleeve looked like his jacket. Mm-hmm. I hope so. And it would make a lot of sense because, listen, Nick Wayne, second generation wrestler, Jack Perry, of course, famous dad.
Yeah.
You could have Luchasaurus say, listen, I am the son of Earl Sinclair from the TV show Dinosaur.
Yes.
Like, you get the streaming rights on WBD on Max.
Right.
Get the baby dinosaur back there.
Yeah.
Gotta love me. I'm the baby. All that shit. Do all that. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Kip Sabian can say. I don't know. Don't know anything about that. But there's enough there. Also, that Kip Sabian interview is a lot of fun. Jambeard says, first merch t-shirt of the Reunited Christian and Cope is going to sell for the millions in Toronto. You know what this also reminds me? The thing I miss most about 90s wrestling is the flash bulbs. I miss the flash bulbs so much. If I was going to this, I would say, go get a damn disposable camera. AEW should sell disposable cameras. Go order a bunch of disposable cameras wholesale and then resell them for like 10 bucks more. And a bunch of people are going to buy them.
Yeah.
And they're going to go click, click, click. And you're going to make a shit ton of money. Go do it for this tour. Put a little Edge and Christian wrap around it or something. Just do it.
For the benefit of those with flash photography. You get like 10 gross of disposable cameras. Put them in a little Ziploc baggie. Clip, like staple a little thing that says, you know, flash photography. Clip in this. Sell them for 20 bucks. People will buy them.
Jimmy Van had a rare good tweet where he said, it is peak AEW that they didn't sell the Mercedes puppet, and peak WWE that they're selling puppets for $100.
Yeah. Yes.
By the way, I have inquired about your puppets. You want to know what's wild?
I'm very excited.
The person I contacted lives within miles of Maggie, of coexisting with Robin Maggie.
Oh,
places in the world. Bulgaria.
Fantastic.
Bulgaria. So good luck getting those puppets, first off. Because Kate and I were both like, we've both tried to send her stuff, and it just, she has said, don't. They go through our mail. So I'm trying. And they were the expensive ones, too.
Okay. Bulgarian James puppets is probably great.
James Stallings is a little behind, but was that Jack Perry as the doctor? That's what we're speculating on. I would like to think so.
Yes. I really hope it is Jack Perry. Also, if the pulpit is from Bulgaria, that there's no chance I'm not doing a Miro impression every time I use the puppet. The puppet is definitely a Bulgarian puppet. That's the truth. We've got to do it.
Jambeard says, I do hope they do a promo with Luchasaurus where they drop the kill switch name because it was given to him by Christian.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I'd be okay with that. Avon says, Luchasaurus is exactly what this Christian Cage face turn Cope reunion has been missing. He represents some of the worst sins of Christian's past. So apologizing and accepting the consequences could legitimize a Christian face turn.
Yeah.
I still think the line after he has his match with Nick Wayne is, I am proud of you and your father would be too. That is the ultimate. That's better than saying I'm sorry to me.
Yeah.
That would be really, really good.
Yeah.
Bill says the correct answer for third place in wrestling is mystery wrestling. They are great. I do like them. We do have an interview with Evil Uno coming soon on Fightful from Joel Pearl. Also, I want to say, Luchasaurus hit like a high angle choke slam on Christian. I was like, oh, Been a while, huh?
Yeah.
So FTR versus Brodido, fantastic match.
Fantastic match.
Listen, I'm never keen on a no-sell pile driver, but this was like a frame-for-frame homage to Road Warrior Hawk doing it.
Yeah.
Which is something that obviously it is an homage to tag wrestling.
Pretty early in the match, considering what happened to him afterwards. If they had done that spot in the last 3 minutes of the match, I would have been like, no. But early enough, Brody was like, that's not going to do it yet. You got to wear me down first.
It was Jerry Lawler's finish, and Hawk was jumping up and doing that. This is not like Dax's finish or anything, but they caught Bandido and really beat his ass, put like a brain buster on him. Mm-hmm. The decapitation elbow. Cash did that DDT to Brody outside where he runs up the post. Mm-hmm. Dax did the back superplex. There was a shatter machine and all hell broke loose. My two qualms about this match that I otherwise loved, I would have set the table up much earlier because setting the table up in the last minute telegraphed it.
Brian be like, I really question their priorities right now.
Yes. Then they tried to cover for the teams. They're like, I don't think they can even hear what's going on.
Yeah.
So what I would also, you've got to start doing these 5 minutes, 10 minutes remaining on just regular matches as well.
The ones that aren't going to come close to it. If you have a 20-minute match that's going to go 17 minutes, say 5 minutes left, and then it ends in 2 minutes. That's fine. You know what I mean? Because here's the thing for me. Tony Khan decided, after it went to a time limit draw, Cody Khan has decided both of these teams will face the Hurt Syndicate. Is that what happens in the case of a time limit? Or does what happens at the end of a case of a time limit is neither team faces them? Because it can't be, like, it's got to be one or the others, and it should be in the rules. Like, it shouldn't just be up in the air. I guess I don't know what's going to happen. We at home and the people who are announcing the match should know if this goes to a draw, neither team will be eligible to face the Hurt Syndicate. And then it does, and then Tony Khan overrules that. That's fine. Or if this goes to a draw, both teams will be in it. But if that's the case, why are you killing each other for the last 2 minutes? Just go to your neutral corner and wait it out. One of you is bleeding to death. All of you have CTE. Just go wait it out for the last 2 minutes. The time limit draw in the finals of a tournament where, if it goes to a time limit draw, we know Tony Khan's penchant for just, doing whatever. He's probably going to put them both in the tag title match. Now, if I was the Hurt Syndicate, I was expecting there to be a Hurt Syndicate segment, and maybe I missed it, where they threw a fit. Like, neither of these teams won the tournament. We shouldn't have to defend against either of them. Like, what is this? This is crazy. We would love to defend our titles, but against the winner of the tournament, and neither of these teams won. Like, they would have a point. So there's a lot of this here. The whole time limit thing, I think there's a lot of there's too much reliance, I think, across the board on the time limit draw as a utilization within AEW. I think they do it maybe 30% too much, but it was a great match. I won't take 1 minute away from the 30 minutes. It was fantastic, incredible. But it just feels like you're killing each other to both be in the title match.
I had kind of alluded to thinking that it was going to happen this way last week. Cause I was like, I think that it's, and I did, I did a wrestling gal with Ella J, and I was like, I think it's going to be a triple threat. And Dave Koss is not happy. He says, just finished Dynamite. Tag match was amazing, but man, am I so sick of these draws being leaned on as a device just to obviously not pin Hurt Syndicate, which would be the story of winning those titles. So that leans into the story that I reported on FightfulSelect.com that I am still getting hate for today, mm-hmm. even though MVP is the one that was telling people who it was he preferred to lose to. I saw some people say, well, that's a clear sign of creative control. Or it's just a guy saying, well, this is who we prefer to lose to. This is who we prefer not to. And being maybe little more difficult to work with than other people would be. Mm-hmm. Dave Koss says it's a lazy device, undermines the tourney. Wouldn't piss me off as much if TK didn't do it as much this last couple of years. I think this will be like the big lesson that he learns from this is like, okay, I know what I need to do and where the titles need to be in some of these situations. But I don't think they would go so meta that they would be like, well, FTR then pins Hurt Syndicate. But they always could do that and make people go, ah, you didn't know. But that's such more of a WWE thing to do.
That might be like the swerve of them doing it. But like,
yeah,
the FTR coming out with the titles, probably by not pinning the Hurt Syndicate, gets the Hurt Syndicate pissed off. Then FTR goes and loses the titles to Edge and Christian at All Out. And a pissed off Hurt Syndicate gets the right kind of heat by beating the hell out of two old guys who we like. You know what I mean? Like I think that you could easily just put the titles back on them and refresh them as a different kind of Hurt Syndicate, because they wouldn't be then the guys who slap hands with everybody. You know what I mean? They would be the real kind of heels. Now, I'm not saying I want that. I'm just saying you could use this to refresh the Hurt Syndicate if you still had things you wanted to do with them as champion. You could do a lot. You could change them up by having them lose the titles when never getting pinned. And also, you could get the titles on Edge and Cope and Christian for a little bit, and actually make that into a run. I don't know what you do with the Hurt Syndicate if they're not the champs. I want to watch Shelton Benjamin wrestle a lot more often, and Lashley too. But like, Shelton Benjamin has been a revelation in AEW.
Really,
we never got to see him look good in his last run with WWE. He has looked phenomenal. I want to see him wrestle as much as possible. I don't know how we get to that point, but please, more Shelton Benjamin matches.
I will ask Luis to check the Humper chats because he's missed like all of them. We got Jampeard saying God's favorite puppet, for he is the redeem-uppet. And then Bill had a really great one. You gave me a body of felt and a neck of sand.
Yes! Yes.
Oh my God.
Bulgarian puppets. That's the way it is, man. Got to get it done.
I want to encourage all of you to check out my bookie, AG. I'm working on getting them to do some AEW odds. They don't have some up right now, but they do have them for anything else. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. They had AAA this weekend. Our dude Luis also gave you guys a heads up, like if you put some money on Wagner, you were going to make a little bit on that. And right now you get a $50 bonus with a $100 deposit when you use the code Fightful, or a $100 bonus on a $200 deposit. Right now, football season's starting up. I am so pumped for it. You got NBA season around the corner. WNBA playoffs are around the corner. Major League Baseball playoffs coming soon. We're hitting that time. Like, we're getting all the sports within the next like couple of months, and I'm really, really excited for it. Fall is the absolute best time for that. And let me tell you guys, they got $500 bet back bonuses. They got 150% casino bonuses up to $750. You can bet with Bitcoin. They got table games, live casinos, all that. And they've got the best support in the game. Go there, check it out. We only want you to bet what you can, and please bet responsibly. But man, they got also their Instagram is a must follow. Like they be posting crazy stuff over there, to the point to where I'm like, damn, why didn't we post that? And I look at it, and I'm like, ah, it's our lovely partners. If you're a real sicko, NFL preseason still going on this weekend. If you want to bet on that, that's next level. Next level. My bookie. AG, I want to thank them so much for being our sponsor. Mark Briscoe wants MJF, but Ricochet, Gates of Agony, and MJF made an agreement.
Yes. I enjoyed MJF coming, like, Listen, bald people freak me out, but the mere thought of me going bald gives me agita. And I'm like, yeah, that's why you went to Turkey. You got the hair plugs, right? Isn't that what we all, that's the lore. I did a lot. I did like the way
he should have said, by the way, I've got a guy. If you're ever interested,
he gives Ricochet his hair plugs guy's card and says, while you're over here in Europe, you might want to look him up.
Alex, do you want me to tell you about one of the funniest pitches I've ever heard? And I feel like I shouldn't say it because it might not happen now.
Oh, no.
I can't say who pitched it.
Okay.
But it wouldn't surprise. Actually, I can in the private chat. I can tell you, and it won't surprise you.
Great. Okay. All right. Should I look at who pitched it before or after you tell me?
After. After.
Okay. After. Okay.
Someone pitched a hair versus hairless match with Ricochet, where if he lost, he would have to grow his hair in to the best of his ability. Now go look at who pitched it.
I'm so excited. Yep. That sounds about right to me. Yep. That's fantastic.
I heard about this the other day. Luis, I will also tell you since you're on staff, and one day I will reveal it to you guys. I promise I will reveal it to you guys.
It's too good a story not to divulge at some point.
But Luis, I told you on Slack, and you can react accordingly in the chat. But I heard it and I was like, that's a pretty damn good idea. That's a pretty damn good idea. I will reveal it one day. But in this segment, Hangman is out in front of the crowd and MJF pops up and and he's like threatening. Look at Luis. what paywall gets it revealed? Listen, the aggregators be kicking our asses, man. So yeah. I need y'all to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Mm-hmm. But MJF like threatens to burn Mark Briscoe, pours gas on him. Now it would be fun if like down the line he's like, why do you think I had gas? Like he was passed out. It was just water. Like I wouldn't do that. But because that's a little much. This is because as Jordan says, did MJF really compare arson to attempted murder? Mm-hmm. But in all seriousness, unsurprisingly scummy move for MJF, the contract being back in play feels like a crutch to me in the overall story. So that's the thing. Title can change hands by count out or DQ. And he said, since you got one up on me last week, also, you have to let me have the match without executing my contract. Alex, I know you hate this.
Oh, I hated it. It was the perfect way of letting Hangman be the guy who figures out a way to out-manipulate the manipulator and get him to have to put the contract on, which he should, because the crutch of being able to get another guaranteed shot at the title if he loses the match, it just extends the thing artificially where we don't need it. My thing is this: the burning down of a house to get to a man, an empty house, an inanimate object, and then the storyline being after he did that, which is a crime, though not a capital crime. The storyline being that Tony Khan had to go to local authorities and use all of his pull to make the thing go away for Hangman, which included Swerve just wanting to get back at Hangman as part of an in-ring thing as opposed to pressing charges. That's one thing. This is murder by arson. This is the immolation of a man. And I'm pretty sure that's illegal even in Scotland. I'm pretty sure even in Scotland, it's not allowed to murder a guy by setting him on fire. So like if I'm pretty sure, I'm going to go ahead and say 1,000% certainty, MJF
was indeed bluffing, because he's not going to a Scottish prison. He's just not going to do that. That's not a thing he'd be willing to do.
And I hope that Mark Briscoe like says it on Collision. Like, man, you shouldn't have done that. It was water. Like I did not smell of gasoline, anything.
No,
he gave me a glorified shower is what he gave.
Right.
Me.
The idea that like you get all this stuff and to the count of five, and then Hangman, you know, gives him what he wants and then runs up to go and, you know, try and get back at him. And it's just, I did enjoy Ricochet's sell of the chair. I thought that was really well done at the end.
You mean this?
Yeah, this. Yes, I do mean that.
Ricochet was next level on this.
Yes, that was good.
That was incredible.
I do wonder if the setup for this, especially with the DQ, can cause a title changing hands, and also a count out or whatever, mostly the DQ bit. I wonder if this is for a shock title change to MJF, only for there to be a rematch at All Out.
Yeah. Now,
this is the way to counter program the counter programming, is to build to a story where Hangman gets his rematch against MJF, and we're going to try and get the title back to Hangman the way it should be after MJF cheated to win the title in that particular way.
Or Hangman beats him, MJF immediately executes, wins it, and then they do it.
There you go.
Like
exactly that.
And I would be okay with that, because for me, like, I think uninterrupted title reigns are very overrated. Like, everybody remembers Stone Cold Steve Austin winning the world title from Shawn Michaels. Many people do not remember that he lost it 2 months later to Kane.
Yeah.
People often forget that. Like, to me, it's about creating interesting moments. Jordan says, what if Hangman and Briscoe plan to have Briscoe punch Hangman, DQ him, make him JF? That's what he should do.
I would pop for that. I would pop for that.
That would be great. That would be really, really good.
Briscoe running down like 15 minutes into the match, and MJF's like, great, he's so pissed at me, he's going to hit me, and it'll disqualify Hangman. And then Briscoe turns around and pops Hangman in the nose. That'd be really funny, honestly.
Oh, my God. Somebody says no DQ, though. I mean, no, it was the title can change hands.
That's right. The title can change hands on a disqualification.
Because, see, that was a thing like heels used to do all the time. Like, they would walk in, they would do that type of thing. Matthew Hook says, am I crazy that if MJF loses his cash in, because the story is he has to earn the title? Maybe it's a little convoluted, but I get the story. I mean, I think that he absolutely could end up winning the title that night. I think that's a real possibility. Yeah. And again, I'd be fine with that. I don't have an issue with Hangman doing that. And we do have Chad's echoing Vicky's sentiment, saying leave the cash and stuff to WWE. But Chad says,
I don't, very fun show.
I wish they would realize AEW don't like the cash and stuff like WWE fans do. I was relieved when I thought it was out of play and annoyed now that it's back in. Yeah. I mean, I like that it was sort of a declaration. And I even like that Tony Khan was like, well, we have the right to change it every single year based on how we feel.
Right.
But
I don't like that part. I think that if you're gonna at all in, there's a casino gauntlet match, and the prize is you get a contract, and every year, depending on vibes, we might just change it on how you get to execute that contract. I feel like it should be a thing every year, the way that they've been pretty consistent with what the Money in the Bank is. However, like, there's a very good possibility that Hangman wins. And then now a pissed off and humiliated Ricochet and the Gates of Agony come in, wreck Hangman, and MJF cashes in right then and there. Like, you beat me, but who cares? Because I'm going to beat you right now. Like, you could honestly have a really great match, but all it takes is the right guys to come in, screw up Hangman enough that then MJF can cash in right then and there. And then we leave with a bad guy winning. And then you build to that. The counter programming to the counter programming is the top two guys in your company
going at it one more time, and we want to watch Hangman win the title again. Maybe that's what they do.
Yeah, I'd be good with that as well. Jane Beard says, do you think they could do a version of the 5 more minutes where Hangman wins, but MJF uses the contract to do a second match right after where Hanger beats him, similar to when MJF beat Punk twice? I think that it's just a real possibility that they could just use that after the match in general on Sunday. Like, I think that's something they could certainly utilize, which I meant to read this question before, but C. Delgado says, it's Briscoe. You set him on fire, he's still going to wrestle next week.
That's true. That's true. He come down fully charred.
Dave Koss says, I loathed this beat and smart baby burial of Hangman. However, I will say MJF was excellent in the actual segment, so I almost got over the ceiling. Really, MJF did a really good job. And to me, it wasn't a dumb babyface thing. It was an empathetic babyface thing, because Hangman knew whatever he was going to do, he couldn't get there in time. And I know that we have said, oh, well, it's attempted arson. We have seen arson. We have seen break-ins. We have seen people get hit with vehicles and vans, like, drove with people. We've seen people get set on fire on this show. So, yeah, N. Simmons says, I liked MJF outsmarting Hangman, not a fan of the contract coming back. Loved Ricochet's facial expressions when Hangman pressed him. I do think his character is a little too cowardly lately, though. I think that they need to start to do the rehabilitation of Ricochet, but him also being a weasel works really well, because he plays that really well. Like, listen, he can whoop almost everybody's ass. Like, he's freakishly strong. He's incredibly athletic. He's very funny, but he's also very good at playing.
Right.
These, like,
I also love him now being in the orbit of the world title.
Me too.
Because, like, this thing, a loose alliance with MJF, Hangman, we anticipate, even if he loses the title on Sunday, we'll get it back, toot sweet. And then at that point, he's going to have at least another 6 months with the title. Starting Ricochet having a relationship where he really hates Hangman gets us to a Ricochet title program, which is the right kind of thing we should be doing with Ricochet, because he's been phenomenal as his heel character.
The main event, Athena and Mercedes defeated Toni Storm and Alex Windsor. Persephone, or as I would normally read it, Persephone.
Persephone.
Is in the crowd. Bazilla confirmed as Stardom's participant. Let me tell you, AEW fans are going to really like her, and they're going to be begging for that GCW rematch against Megan Bain. As this went on, I looked at this and I was like, okay, WWE did a very good job of, like, bringing Lyra Valkyria on, putting her in there with, like, really big stars. AEW is doing the same thing with Alex Windsor, because you looked in that ring at, like, when the match is announced, that's one thing. But then when you look at the screen and you're like, oh, Toni Storm's wrestling right now, Mercedes is wrestling right now, and Athena is wrestling right now. You're talking about the three women who have been booked as nearly untouchable within this company. And it's like, damn, they're all on screen right now. And it's like, oh, okay. So when they face each other, this is always big deal, big business. Mm-hmm. And then putting Alex Windsor in there immediately makes her feel important. I love that they did that, Alex.
She does feel important. I really enjoyed the way that they had her basically have the match won, but didn't realize that Athena had been blind tagged in. And so not only did Athena get the pin on Alex Windsor with the O face, but she also did the pile driver on the stairs to Toni Storm, which they sold at the end. Like, is she going to be okay for the match on Sunday? So, like, Athena is riding high. Like, got the pin in this on Mercedes, one of Mercedes' challengers, and also did some serious damage to the neck of the woman she's facing. They're making Athena into the kind of wrestler she should be on AEW programming. Again, it is crazy to me that it's been basically 3 years of her being banished to ROH when we could have seen this woman on AEW TV, maybe not all the time, but more often than we've gotten to, because she's fantastic.
Michael Allen Lewis says Brazil is a smart choice, big enough to not be too banged up from the five star. Yeah, I just think it's a smart one because they also know that this is a person that can base for a lot of stuff as well and also will connect with that audience.
Yeah.
Dave Koss says, happy that Athena is on my TV every week, not watching ROH. Just forgot how lethal her moveset is, how fluid she moves, her facials throughout. Flat out, one of the best in the world. One of the best in the world. And what you have seen throughout this run is her get a lot more comfortable with her realizing how good she is as well. Yeah. Like, she knows how good she is.
Yeah.
And as she has been this champion, you can tell there's a little chip on her shoulder, and rightfully so. But every time she gets an opportunity, she's also like, she absolutely kills it. Absolutely kills it. Tony and Athena, on Sunday. So I had a bit of a pitch for this, Alex, and I think it can play off of a clip that's just going to get repeated over and over again. Everybody is posting that Mariah May Tony clip of the promo, right? Like, you are doomed to a life of mediocrity. Well, listen, I know it hasn't happened with Mercedes yet, but I think it should. Mercedes should lose her titles one by one. Mm-hmm. I think Tony should also beat Athena, and then Athena, after she hits one, the record or whatever she's after, 1,000 days, she should lose hers too, and it should be almost like the curse of Toni Storm. Mm. Like, you lose the Tony, and shit changes for you. And she could play that off really well, like the curse of Babe Ruth, you know, like that type of thing. I think that would work really well for her. But Jordan says, love the buildup of Athena. She wins Sunday. Who do you want her to challenge? Hope for Sheeta. Need her back. I got to be honest with you. A returning Sheeta would be great. Because she is that. They've got a lot of people that are just like on the shelf that could come back in big spots. Hayter, Thunder Rosa, Britt Baker, Sheeta, lots of people. I'm just, ROH is such a pointless product at this stage, but
it doesn't need to be, but it certainly
is. I agree.
You've got a roster across AEW and ROH. You could absolutely make that into something
that
sickos would not miss.
PWG doesn't exist anymore.
The AEW super fan, absolutely. If you put the right people who we all love, but know there's not a place for them to be at the top of the AEW card, you put them for like a 6 week to 3 month run in ROH with a title program, a title run, a little hot potato with a couple of things, build new stars that we're salivating over in ROH that then get brought up not after 3 years, but after a year, and you can easily slot them into mid-card title hunts and stuff like that. You could build somebody in ROH for a year that when they get brought up to the AEW roster and go and do a feud with Kyle Fletcher, like, everyone is salivating over it because we watched him have banger after banger after banger in ROH, but they're just using it for their scraps. They're just using it as a thing that we do with stuff now.
Michael Allen Lewis says, any word on Riho? Her versus Mercedes is a must. I think that some of the visa issues got sorted out, I think. I don't know. I know the cheat is getting there, but I have long said, like, listen, I'm sure that if Super Dragon wanted to continue booking, he'd just do PWG. But I'm like, steal the PWG format. Like,
yes.
Run a big Friday night at 10 p.m. indie at the revamped Globe Theater, and do a super insane Takeshita versus Bandido matches like that used to happen all the time at PWG, man.
like if you can find old PWG matches and you watch that, you could absolutely turn ROH into a super indie.
Yes.
Where all those matches are like that. You bring in the best guys who aren't signed, let them wrestle 15, 20 minute matches against your best guys and figure out who are the dudes that the crowd is clamoring to have back. You could do that kind of stuff and make people really want to watch it. People will pay that $10 if they think they're getting their money's worth out of it.
Yeah. Dave Koss says they should use ROH as their NXT. They're instead using it as main event. Shout out for being Sean being main events only viewer. Listen, that's why when people said Karrion Kross doesn't bump, I was like, I watch his matches. I saw that match against Cruz del Toro. He certainly did. It's so funny when they first announced, well, there's going to be some main roster content on Peacock. I thought for sure they were going to say main event like that. But yes, they should use it as their NXT, and it should be a super mega indie.
Yeah.
Super mega indie. In Simmons says, loved when where the Mercedes character is going. She was actually scared to fight Toni Storm. Her facial expressions last week were great. Toni versus Monet isn't over. No, this is going to be a big time feud
for a
long time.
Yeah,
I also loved Mercedes USA inspired gear in Scotland.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And just Ricardo says, Mark Briscoe seals the contract before the match. You just have to profess that you execute it, I think. I don't think that does the same thing.
I mean, the thing with Chris, they made a big deal of him having a pen so he could sign it. You know what I mean? Like, it's incredibly stupid, but it needs to be consistent.
Sure.
Like, do you have to actually sign the contract to get the match? Because if you don't, then you could just say, my match is now and it's happening. Like, and if you do need to sign it, it needs to be consistent. Pick one and actually keep it consistent.
Well, you guys were very consistent with the super chats and humper chats tonight. I want to thank you all so much for that, guys.
Thank you.
Really, really appreciate you guys. Please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Today, I had news on Chris Jericho. I had news on the WWE TV deal. Tomorrow, I'm going to have a lot of various AEW news, but also some injury updates. Of course, we're going to have scoops all throughout the weekend, but just listen, let me sell you on this Fightful Select real quick. Some of the stories we've had this week, in addition to Q&A articles every single day, we had a bunch of names that were in town for NXT and for Raw. We had the Danhausen AEW update. We had the early notes for Kip Sabian as well. We had details on Ace Austin's AEW contract, as well as Chris Bay's contract situation, of all people. Update on Evil in the G1. Quite frankly, that Tony Khan doesn't like Evil, doesn't like his work. We had CMLL news. We had AAA news as well. We had details on MLW's date that got moved, Sammy Callahan and his retirement. We spoke to AJ Francis. Listen, we're speaking directly to the talent and giving you all these scoops as well. Where the WWE library could end up, some news on Liv Morgan, some news on Karrion Kross, Forbidden Door, and some of the changes around that. Luis and Kate both spoke to wrestlers for Fightful Select as well. We confirmed another long-term signing in Hook last week. There were a lot of people that were like, oh, well, he's coming back, but didn't he get an agent? Yeah, last year, and re-signed long-term last year. Lots of great stuff over at FightfulSelect.com. And most importantly, you're supporting original creators and getting the news accurately and directly. And you're also supporting this gentleman because he does a bunch of shows over there. Don't you, Alex?
Yeah, I do. Review Raw every Monday night. SmackDown is a chore to get through, but we review it. This weekend, we're gonna do a SmackDown review. We're gonna do something. We're trying. Kate and I are trying to get together to do on Saturday a Happy Gilmore 2 review.
Okay.
In honor of MJF perhaps becoming the next champion that weekend, we're gonna do an MJF. We're gonna try and do Happy Gilmore 2 review on Saturday. Then on Sunday, there's the Forbidden Door review, and also after that, or probably during that review, NXT Heatwave will go on. And I don't know if Kate's gonna join me, but I'm gonna review NXT heat wave at some point Sunday night. So I've just decided that I'm going to spend from like 10 a.m. my time until probably, let's say, 2 a.m. my time, either watching or talking about wrestling on Sunday. So wish me luck.
I'm trying to get some puppets, guys, because I have embarked on my story being finished. For those of you that don't know, I'll inform this crowd. A couple of months ago, I convinced Alex to review one of my comfort films, Hot Rod.
Yes.
And he hated it. And even though he hated it, and I feel he was completely wrong, I found his review to be incredible. Like, you seriously have a knack for reviewing things that you dislike. Like, you got almost like you made a career of it, Alex. Mm-hmm. And I watched in the last year, Freddie Got Fingered of Tom Green of MTV fame. And I've mentioned this before. At times watching this movie, I was like, I've seen plenty of bad movies, but this one is special. This one is different. Because I wondered if he was just doing it, as odd as this sounds, art.
Nah.
And Alex quoted me an insane price.
I did.
That nobody would reasonably pay.
And no one would reasonably pay that, which means I wouldn't have to review the movie, which was my end goal.
And what was even worse is you got Kate to also do that, of whom, if I would have just asked Kate, she would have reviewed it, because
I'm sure she would have. Yeah.
She is carrying cross good soldier is what Kate is there. But instead, I have agreed to purchase puppets, custom puppets.
Yeah.
For Alex and Kate that are going to cost me quite a bit of money. Now they have insinuated, oh, we'll review it as the puppets, 'cause we don't want to review it. No. It can't happen like that. It's gotta be an honest to God review. I don't give a shit what you all do with the puppets.
You don't care what we do with the puppets.
After
the puppets, the puppets are going to be Fightful property characters.
Yeah. I mean, I hope.
Yeah.
Because this is going to cost an exceptional amount of money. Like, I got to be honest with you guys. Me, not well, Fightful. Me, right, in this economy, right. I'm about to spend like probably $1,100 for these puppets. But right. I feel like it might bear fruit, because I think your audience might actually like that and encourage them. And I have a hope that I can promote this review to such a level, because it's going to be a free review.
Yeah.
Literally, the word fingered is going to mess up our SEO for months on YouTube.
It really will.
And just to be clear, guys, this is going to be a good, probably late night review, because Alex also is the world record holder for length of Hot Rod review, by the way. Now, let me tell you, if he got that much out of Hot Rod, I can't wait.
Who knows how much I'll get out of it.
Can you write that off? I hope so. But I have reached out to this lovely woman, Svetlana, from Plovdiv, Bulgaria.
Yeah.
And I have sent her the reference photos.
And I understand that it is an exorbitant amount of money to get these custom puppets.
But,
however, instead of selling one of your three PS5s, you could sell two of them. And then you'd have basically almost all the money.
I am legitimately selling a PS5 to make this more feasible. But also, and that's the thing, I can't sell sponsors for this. Who would sponsor this?
Nobody. Nobody in their right mind.
Like, maybe a toe separator. Or rather be toed than fingered? We got the product for you. Mm-hmm. Bill's towing service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, you know what? A proctologist. That's you find a local proctologist.
It's the most unsponsorable movie.
I know. There's got to be a proctologist with a good sense of humor out there who would throw in a couple of $100 to be the sole sponsor to, like, Freddie Got Fingered review, like, presented by Doctor Whatever.
I don't know how it got rated R. I don't know how it didn't get NC-17. I really don't. Like, it's shocking to me. It's shocking to me. This movie is rated 1.0 on Common Sense Media. But here's a review title. Freddie Got Fingered is a gloriously unhinged portrait of pre-9/11 youth culture that should be celebrated today. I get the feeling that that's not the only time that Freddie Got Fingered was compared to 9/11. I'll just say that. That's yeah, how I'm feeling yeah. about this. Yeah, somebody probably. Said real yeah. American beer will sponsor.
Might be worth reaching out. I'm just saying.
Oh, God. Guys.
Yeah, we'll get old Matthew Hooks to sponsor it. He sponsors a lot of our stuff.
Matthew Hooks to sponsor it.
He sponsors a lot of stuff. See,
so that's the thing. Like, I can't say, hey, Kate, will you sell ads for this? Because, like, I've actively got her saying, hey, guys, the Fightful Awards are in, like, 4 months. If you'd like to yeah. go ahead and get ahead and sponsor things, like, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's not – I'm not going to have Kate cold call right. people and say,
yeah.
so we got this Freddie Got Fingered review coming out, and – I think it might do some big business. And she would. She would do it with such glee and, yeah. and a personable nature. Come on. Kate's father might spot.
Probably not. He does. He does send in humper chats every Tuesday.
He does. Nice do you fella. Think he's going to tune into
probably
that one?
Probably not. No, he might. He might throw in $5, but I don't think that considers being sponsored.
I'm really excited to see the thumbnail that Rob Wilkins cooks up because he's got to do like two. He's got to do like for the show, and then he's got to do like the hype one. And obviously, I'm going to do a run-in on this show. There's no way that I'm not going to rewatch this before I do it. Yeah. But Matthew Hook says, what do you get out of this? You get an ad read.
You get an ad read.
You might become the presenting sponsor.
Yeah, the presented Freddie Got Fingered, presented by Matthew Hooks.
Did you see the clip that has went around of like it's the ad of Home Improvement where they find out that Jonathan Taylor Thomas's yeah. character has cancer, yeah. and then the hype video right after that is followed by the Diet Mug Root Beer Dana Carvey Show. Yes. That's what we need. That's what yeah, we need.
We need the Diet Mug Root. We gotta call up Diet Mug Root Beer. See if we can get them in.
Listen,
stuff.
I am an A&W guy. I got to be completely yeah. honest with you. Hold on.
When I moved here, we had an A&W by my house.
Oh, like a restaurant. Yeah,
and it shut down. I was bummed because when I got here, I saw it and I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy like a mug and put it in the mm-hmm. freezer.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to drink root beer.
Frosty mug of root exactly. beer. Exactly. Nothing like it.
And I messaged them and I said, I was so bummed out because you all closed the week before I moved here.
Yeah.
And they sent me this as a token of gratitude.
Oh, that is amazing.
Rudy the Great Root Bear.
We had an AW restaurant about 10 minutes from my house when I was a kid. It was no joke. Some of my best memories as a very young child are going to that AW root beer restaurant because the way you ordered was by ordering by phone from the booth of the restaurant. You would pick up the phone and you would call in your order and then they would roller skate it out to your table. And I was heartbroken at like 8 or 9 when the restaurant closed. They had a big fiberglass root bear statue out front of that thing. A guy in town when it closed bought it and he put it up in his front lawn.
Wow.
I wanted that. I wanted that.
Did they have racks when you were younger?
Well, they had racks. They had racks in the city where I was. Yeah, they had a rack.
I just thought about that the other day. Like across the river, they had mm-hmm. racks, roast mm-hmm. beef.
As roast good as beef. Hell, it was like an Arby's competitor.
Yeah. Arby's. Listen, Arby's got that Peacock deal. They got the ESPN deal, and that was that. No more racks.
No more racks.
Guys, I have put out a public call for Freddie Got Fingered. Freddie Got Fingered sponsors. I am actively speaking with this woman. I know that there's a real possibility that nobody will care about this but me.
Yeah.
But I got high hopes that this this audience will show out. Pat says A&W Canada rules ass. Shout out to Beyond Burger. I didn't know that A&W had food there until I saw a news story about how an A&W was on fire and people refused to get out of the drive-through line because they liked the food so much. So I was like, I got to try this. And I got root beer. You can get like a gallon of root beer, and I got their zero sugar root beer, which is so good.
Best. So good.
Guys, thank you all so much. Until next time, we're out.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.